Welcome to Home Downtown Podcast. We hope these messages inspire you to live a life of creativity, love, and faith.
If you didn't know, you'll know now. We are in a series titled Family. And basically, what we're discovering, what we're going through, is the idea of church. What is it? Why is it? What is the point? Why do my parents force me to go? Why do I not like going that much sometimes? I mean, come on. It's Thursday night football, but it's the Panthers and the Bucks, so it's basically irrelevant. But last week, I'm glad some of you got that. Some of you are like, who's the Bucks? That sounds like a bad word. But last week, we touched on the idea of God's invitation into his family through way of the church, that this is not an event, but that this is an invitation into what God is doing. He created us for community. He created us for a place of belonging. We're not meant to go alone. And last week's message was titled The Wedding, because any family starts with a wedding. There's a marriage, there's a covenant, there's a commitment to one another. And if you weren't able to make it last week, we do have a podcast, shameless plug, it's on iTunes and Spotify. Please rate it. If you give one star, then, man, that would suck. Anyway, I don't know why I say some things sometimes. But like I'm like Michael Scott sometimes. I'm like, when I said it, I didn't know where I was going. And that's every week. Anyway, in devotion to him, in this series, we understand that he's devoted to us. And it's not a give-and-take relationship. We don't give and he takes and he doesn't take and then we have to give, and it's not forced, but it's a family. And family shouldn't be forced. Family should be an invitation. And last week, it was really, really cool. The Lord spoke to Brooke, as he always does. If you didn't tell, she hears God's voice so clearly, and I'm so thankful for her. But she felt that we were supposed to split up into men and women. And what we did was, at least on the men's side, I was on the men's side. We got in a big circle, and one by one, we just went into the middle and just said, hey, I'm struggling with this, and I'm dealing with this. And it was really, really cool because we're not by no means a big church, but we're big enough where you can come in and leave and not be connected if you wanted to, you know? It's easy. But that's not what God's purpose for the church is. It's not an event. You don't attend. You engage. And as different men were sharing, we all prayed for the same person at the same time. And it was really cool. There was men that even said, like, I'm struggling with loneliness, or I just really need a friend. And people were inviting each other to their homes. And people were being intentional. And it's really hard to be intentional if you don't know what the intention is. And so even as you're here tonight, if it's your first time or you don't know anybody or whatever it is, you're worth our intention. And so please share with us what you need. We would love to be there for you. As we continue in this series, I wanted to go deeper into the idea of Jesus community, why it's different than just an event, or why it's different than your workplace, why it's different than your friends group. Some people believe that I can just have church by myself. I had a friend in high school, and his dad always said, oh, I'm just a solo worshiper. I'm just a solo church guy. Like, he likes to just do church alone. And I was thinking, I mean, back then I was like 14, I didn't know anything. I was like, okay, me too. I went home and told my dad, I'm a solo worship today. Like, go play GameCube. Come on. But that, you can't do church alone. You cannot. You can't. And even if you come into a room with a bunch of people, you still can be alone and not attend church. And we have to look at the Bible to figure out what Jesus says, because we can't just make up cool stuff and hope that it sounds good enough to sound spiritual. And last week I kept saying over and over again that this is not an event, this is not an experience. Some churches say this is an experience. This is not an experience. You don't go to dinner with your family and you're like, oh, such a good experience. Thank you, Dad. And then you like leave. No, like a family is together. You speak, I speak, we listen to each other, we share with one another. And even though maybe I speak up here every week, There's a connection that we can have anytime. And the Lord could speak to Brooke right now and say, hey, we need to change this up. And we would go with it. And that has happened. And it could happen now. You got anything? I mean, I don't know. But what makes a family? Let's open up to Mark 3:31 if you got your Bible. You can pull your phone out too. That is okay here. Mark 3:31 through 35. I'm in the ESV if you got that. Will you raise your hand when you're ready to go, if you got it? Some of you are so shy. You're like, I don't want anyone to know I have a Bible. This is the best place to show off your Bible. Come on. Okay, here we go. It's on the screen if you need it as well. This is Jesus' mother and brothers. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. They're calling Jesus. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And Jesus answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, people in need. God, help us to understand that we can't do anything out of our own strength, that we are not our provider, but that you are our provider. Father, I ask that any false belief that we have, that we don't belong here, that you don't love us, that this isn't for us, Father, would you remove that right now in the name of Jesus? And would you allow us to hear whatever it is that you're saying? Father, would you use me? Would you use us to be the availability of Jesus to one another? Everybody said, amen. As we read this passage, we find that Jesus asks a silly question. Who are my mother and my brothers? Like, obviously he knew, right? But after he asks that, he looks at the people around him and he calls them his mother and his sisters and his brothers. And obviously they were not. It actually would have been his disciples, his apprentices that sat around him. And he does this because Jesus has a tendency to do things that are countercultural. We're going to go into a little bit of why this was so crazy. Because when you read this as a Western Christian, you could be like, oh yeah, that's cool. His friends are his family. You know, like, friends of the family. What does that sound? I don't know. Some of you are like, yeah. That's a song, I think. But anyway, in the Western world, we can look at this and be like, yeah, I love my friends just as much as I love my family. And it makes sense. Like, I hang out with my friends more than I see my parents or whatever it is. But in first century Jewish culture, family, and in much of the Eastern world, family is the most important thing. There's nothing more important than blood. When Brooke and I were overseas, you even found people that were married with children living with their parents still, and it wasn't weird. Like, your family is everything to you. And we find here that Jesus is referring to his apprentices as his family. And he's doing something here that is not acceptable. Not at all. I think this may have helped him get killed. This simple idea was so radical that it may have been one of the biggest reasons that he was put on the cross. See, first century Jewish culture centered around the idea that what's better for my family is what's better for me. Right? Like, we can be like, oh, Dad, I don't want to go to school for that, or I can do this, or I'm leaving the house. We get to kind of have a choice. But in this time, you did what was best for your family. That's why there was arranged marriages, and even though there may have been romantic love involved, if that's what was best for your family, if your family got something out of it, you were expected to do that. Does that make sense? And for us, it's hard to understand because we don't really have that type of connection. In the Western world, family's cool. Yeah, maybe we're really close, maybe we're not. But it's not that big of a deal. But in Eastern culture, and first century Jewish culture, it was everything. And he tells these people, he says, the people around me are my family. But they would have been thinking, family is only defined by bloodline, bloodline alone. Even if someone offered you 100 cows, for your daughter, and she had to marry the ugliest man in the world, she would have been expected to do so. And it's just so interesting to me because if I would have read this without the context, I would have said, that's really cool. Jesus is so inclusive. And he's so nice and kind. That's so cool. But in this time, the most intimate relationship that you would have had, the most intimate relationship, the closest person to you, would have been your brother or your sister. The person you were married to was chosen for you, for the better of the family. And so friends were cool, but your brothers and your sisters, those were the ones that were blood, and they were the most important. Even in the very beginning of the Gospels, if you open up to Mark or to Matthew, the very beginning, you find the genealogy, and all it says is fathers and brothers. That's what's listed. And in front of these disciples, in front of these apprentices, Jesus calls them his family, his mothers and his brothers and his sisters. Because in the eyes of Jesus, family is not only bloodline, it's those who do the will of God. And I wanted to talk about this tonight because community is so much more vital than we understand. It's so much more important than we give to it. Maybe, oh, if something better comes up, whatever, we have this thing called JOMO, joy of missing out, where we'd rather be alone, and it's like, we have Netflix, and we have all these streaming services, and we can watch sports by ourselves, and we could read, we can do all these things that we think are filling us up, like, I need my alone time. And that's true, you do need your alone time, but you also need your community time. And some of us think that going to work is community time, or going to the gym is community time, because there's people around you, but Jesus' idea of community is much more different than people around you. Whether we know it or not, we're all a part of some type of community. It could be your friends, your workplace, like I just said. And that's because we were designed for that. And here we find that Jesus, he's asking us to be a part of his community. He uses this moment to make a statement that the family of God is meant to be a different type of community. It's not a place where we come in and we experience. It's not something where we come and we maybe crack a couple jokes, have fun, your pastor does a cool bottle flip, that was awesome. But there's something so much more important in community. And what separates community from family is the pursuit of God. And you were destined, created, you are meant for a community to surround you to pursue God with. You're not meant to do it alone. If you were meant to do it alone, Jesus would not have said this. But he's invited us into his family. And he says, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. In John 13:31, Jesus says, Where I am going, you cannot come. And then he goes on to say, just as I have loved you, love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. Just as I have loved you, love one another. I think the American church, the Western church, believes that being kind is enough to be like Jesus. Maybe being generous every now and then is just like Jesus. Maybe attending a church service once a month, going to a conference, kind of being around, you know, maybe you have a couple Christian friends, so you guys don't cuss around each other, or you don't smoke, so you're just good people. Or maybe you do, I don't freaking know. But when Jesus says this, before he leaves, this is right before he ascends, he says, just as I have loved you, love one another. This is not being kind. This is not only being generous. This is not just being available. This is looking at other people as more than a community and like a family. You are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. And that's the reality of the church. Any organization that pursues God together is no longer a community, it is a family. And in that video that we played before, if you haven't seen it, it's on our Instagram. But we created that video to visually show the idea of that we can do it alone, but it's so much better to do it together. It's so much better. But there is a little bit of fear you have to overcome, because the enemy in the world and the things that people have told you, you're dumb, you're whatever, you don't deserve this. Even people don't say it straight up, they say it with facial expressions. Maybe you didn't make it on a certain sports team, or you got fired from a job. And this thing creeps up into you and it says that you don't belong with people. You shouldn't be here. You don't belong. Raise your hand if you've ever experienced that. Let's just be real. Yeah, almost all of us. And it's so easy to think that I'm the black sheep. I don't belong. But Jesus says that you do. And we say that you do. Because it doesn't matter if you're blood to me. He's blood to me, and he's blood to you. And so therefore, we're a family. It's really easy. It's really easy to tell yourself that you shouldn't be there. It's really easy to tell yourself in a worship time like we just had that there's some people that are on fire. I don't know what that means. Those people are on fire for God, and I'm not. Or, oh, those are worshipers. I am more of like a businessman. Or some of you are laughing. You're like, not me. My senior year of high school, I was in freshman math. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. That doesn't even pertain to this, but anyway. It's so easy to tell yourself that, like, to separate. And I think in the Western church, again, it's so easy to compartmentalize people and communities. And, for example, like, maybe you go to a church and everyone's wearing Yeezys and you feel like you're wearing Vans so you don't fit. Like, let's be real. How does everyone afford these Yeezys? I don't understand. Like, I'm like, that's a lot of money. Don't you work at, like, the 7-Eleven up the road? I have owned a fake pair of Yeezys, though, before. And they were, I think they were $80. Bro, they were, like, wearing socks. They were so uncomfortable. I felt like every rock, every pebble. And I felt so cool. And then I realized that I don't have the body for Yeezys. What does that mean? I don't freaking know. Don't even ask me. But it's so easy to tell yourself that. Maybe you fit in one compartment, but not another. Yeah, I'm a worshiper, but I'm not really, like, very social. So maybe you come for worship and then you leave. Maybe you tell yourself, I'm not very social, so I'll go late. I love learning, but I don't really like singing. Or I'm not a good singer. I'm not a musician. I'm not this or that. And so you come for one part, but then you leave for another. Or maybe you go to an event, but you don't go to a small group because you think that that's not for me, that's for them. But Jesus never says, this is them. If you do the will of God, if you love Jesus Christ, you are it. And the compartment, it has no walls. He is enough for us to be a family. We're not a community. We're not an event. We're not an experience. You are not a spectator of home downtown. You are home downtown. You are the family of God. There is no separation between this church or that church. I don't care even honestly what the beliefs are. If they're not for us, if they're not against us, they're for us. Those are the words that Jesus spoke. But then we come in and we say, everyone's against me. We start to believe false truths. Oh, everyone must be against me. Or, oh, these people are all really close, so I probably shouldn't jump in. This church started when two small groups joined together. And I remember going to the one that we weren't in charge of, Awaken. And we walked in and it seemed like everybody was really close friends. And there was this little bit of a temptation to be like, I'm not going to step into that because everyone's already friends. I don't want to ruin anything. I don't want to, like, stir anything up. Like, we had a baby with us. Everyone else is, like, fresh out of high school. I'm like, no one's a parent. No one fits in with me. I had a man bun. No one else had a man bun. Praise God, I cut it. I'm like, let's just be real. Like, maybe you think, oh, that person's more preppy than me, or this person's more hardcore than me. I don't like that. Or, but when we attended Awaken, you know, what's crazy is that I felt like the Lord said, you know, get invested in a community. Get invested in the city. I went through a period in my life where I hated God's church. I thought the Western church was a waste of time. I thought they weren't doing enough. I complained about what they did with the tithe. I complained that they weren't reaching enough people. And you know what's funny? I didn't do any of that stuff either, but I blamed other people for what I should have been doing. God says, if you hate the church, why don't you go fix it? Why don't you go invite yourself in and love people and show them how to do it? If you think that people can't do it, you should teach them. Model it for them. Invite them to your home for dinner. Don't mess around with this stuff. You are enough. Jesus has given you all that you need. And he says it right here. If they're doing the will of God, they're your brothers, your mothers, and your sisters. The most important people in first century Jewish culture were your siblings. And he calls his disciples his siblings. And he tells people all around him, this is who they are. This is just as important as my mother and my brothers. But we come into place and we say, I'm the least important person. I don't belong here. He's different than me. She's different than me. Oh, I'm a missionary. Oh, I live where I live. I'm a church person. I'm a missionary. I'm a worship leader. I'm a pastor. Guys, we're the family of God. And until we understand that we're actually supposed to be in the community, and we don't sit down for dinner with our family, we eat the food and then we leave. We don't say anything to our parents or our family or our friends that are at the table with us. Because listen, I want to hear your voice. I don't want to do this by myself. Hello? I don't want to do this by myself. I don't want to just be up here worshiping and hope that other people want to worship God with me. No, I want to be going with you towards him together because I can't do it without you. I didn't go to college. I can't do it without you. Come on, man. And then we come into church and we're all tight and we're just like scared and stuffy. And then people that don't go to church, they walk by or they see it or they listen or whatever. And they say, man, I thought that was supposed to be like good. And yet people are so afraid of one another. When we walked into that awakened community, the Lord said, care for the church like you want the church to care for you. And so Brooke and I, we took the leap. We took our baby to a bunch of young people that were single. And I remember we went to Chick-fil-A after. This is classic, right? Like, why don't as a church ever go to Taco Bell? I don't get it, dude. And we took our baby to Chick-fil-A. And I was like, it felt like it was middle school again. Like, I didn't know where to sit. Do you remember this? I didn't know where to sit. I'm like, where are we going to put the freaking car seat is like 80 pounds. I'm walking in like, because I don't work out. I can't lift it. And we see some seats open, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh. And so we sit down. We put Park down. And now those people are some of our best friends. And now those people are some of your leaders here. And we're doing it together. And because I was less concerned about my own comfort and more concerned about God's word, it didn't hurt. It helped. And I think he's saying the same thing to you. Team, you can come back up. He's saying the same thing to us right now in this moment. Even the ones standing up right now to come to the stage and play music, there is no separation. You are the worship team. We are the worship team. We're the family of God. There's no difference. Does this make sense? So let's stand together. This was on purpose, a bit of a shorter teaching because I want to give us space to practice the teachings of Jesus. And right now what we're going to do is maybe if you've been feeling isolated, maybe if you've been dealing with fear, maybe you feel secluded, I want us to come and just invite ourselves to the presence of God. Just walk right in. If for you that means coming to the very front, for me that typically means moving my body somewhere. I remember the first time I really wanted to worship the Lord, I had to kind of get my arms above this level. It's crazy, but it sounds so stupid now. But I was like, oh no. Like, people are going to see me behind me. I'm going to block the screen. You probably don't know the words. We're singing like How He Loves. Everyone in America knows How He Loves. I'm just like so afraid. And I remember in that church, I lifted my hands. And this just like wave of freedom just came over me. And I'm not saying this that way you'll raise your hands. I'm saying this because sometimes you have to move your body to get free. Because I'm telling myself, I'm telling my flesh, no, you're going to obey the Lord. You're going to get close to the Lord. And so as we enter into worship, I want you to take this moment. And it's going to be uncomfortable. It might be weird. But let's just get weird. We're a family. And typically, families are always weird. Oh, there's like just one weird guy, but like, we're all the weird one. So if you want to, if you're able, if you have feet that move, let's just step out of the pew right now. Let's just step out right now. Don't be scared. No one's, we're all doing it. And listen, maybe you think we don't want to hear your voice. We want to hear your voice. And if you guys want to come up a little bit more, there's people in the hallway. You come up just a teeny bit more, just because it's okay to come in the light. It doesn't. I hate the light because it feels like everyone can see you. Well, listen, people want to see you. You don't need to hide your face. In Psalms, it says that those who look upon God are radiant. So don't hide your face. Let's close our eyes. Let's open up our hands if you can.